want to take a moment to welcome you to the Block Church Podcast. Our church is on a mission to revive our city one block at a time, and we hope this message encourages you today.
So let's review. We've been talking about our values. Our mission at the Block Church is this: reviving our city one block at a time. What's that mean? How do we flesh that out? We do it really in three ways. Salvation. We want people to experience salvation and Jesus, overwhelming transformation through salvation, experiencing that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the only way, salvation. The second way is through saturation, which means we want to put, reviving our city one block at a time, we want to put as many of these locations and as many places in our region or our world as possible. We want to be like Starbucks in the sense that everywhere you go, you see the Block Church, but we want to taste homegrown like a La Colombe. Everybody understand that? All right. And so then, lastly, we want to be known for our service. We serve our communities. We are servants. So that's what we do. We want to see people saved. We want to saturate and we want to serve, right? That is our mission, reviving our city one block at a time. The culture is the atmosphere, the feeling. It's what drives our mission. So culture is the vehicle in which we get there. And that's what we're studying about our church. So let me review week one, which was we are passionate believers. That's what we want, to be passionate, which means we love Jesus and we show it. Secondly, we are practicing unity, which means we celebrate differences and we seek understanding. You need to go back, you need to watch and listen to that to fully understand what this means. Pastor Grace last week, she talked about that we are development driven, which means we value people and personal growth. We don't want to stay the same. I'm not where I used to be, amen. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm on my way. We are development driven. And then lastly, we are authentic community, which means we're together and we're known. Being together means that we're friends. We do life with each other. We have mentors. We have mentees. We are in accountability. It's not always easy. We're together and we're known. There's depth to our relationship. All right, everybody caught up now. That's where you say, yes, I'm caught up. God bless you. Thank you for teaching so clearly. Everybody caught up now. I know Center City caught that. All right. Let's talk about number five and number six. Now, I want to be clear about something. These are not number five and six in our hearts. They're all number one, but we have to put them in numerical order. Everybody get that? So number five, we are ready investors. In other words, we live to give and we look to sow. Let's say that together. We live to give and look to sow. What's that mean? Well, we start where we are, amen, and actively listen to the voice of God for where, what, and who to invest in next. It's important for you to remember that some of you started on your journey with God in a very dark and broken place. But if you look at your life and where you're at today, you're not where you used to be. You're on your way to something greater. And the same goes with your giving, right? I might have started where I was. All I could do was this, but now I've seen God increase me, and now I've increased this. I started where I was. And now I've moved beyond returning to what is God's, and now I'm actively listening to where I can sow and who and where I can sow into. I'm a sacrificial giver now, beyond just being a maintaining or returning to what's God. Everybody understand that? So we start where we are. We're ready investors. Now, before I dive into the scripture around this, I want you to know, and I'm not going to spend a long time on this today, we're going to dive into finances in November, December, and we're going to help you. Our whole couple months are we committed to helping you develop and grow in your finances. We want to help you get out of debt. Come on, somebody. All right, we want to help you live the abundant life. We want to help you know what it means to be financially free. So we're going to teach around that. I'm not going to stay there a long time. But we have a couple events coming that you should write down. On the 20th of November, we're going to have a free Dave Ramsey streaming event at 7 p.m. in Richmond Hall. If you're in debt, if you've got financial trouble, I would do everything you could to get to our Port Richmond location on November 20th. All right, free event. On the 23rd, that's Saturday, we're going to do a free financial workshop. That is to be determined as to where. But it's an important event because if you've got financial trouble, we are going to have people who are counselors and consultants that can help you take good steps. And so it's important for you to be there, especially if you're in debt, because sometimes one conversation can change the trajectory of your life. So we want to offer these to you. And then lastly, we're going to practice sacrificial giving. Every year we take what we call our influence, we've called it our Happy Birthday Jesus offering. We're going to call it influence offering this year because our word of the year is influence. And the goal of this offering is that you withhold from getting a gift for yourself and you sow that into the need we're going to meet. Or you know somebody's going to get you a gift and you say, hey, I would rather have the cash for that because I'm going to make a difference with that money. That's what we do every year. So we'll take that offering on the 15th and the 22nd. We'll receive it. And we're calling it influence because we're going to pay for our new location and we're going to pay and care for Christmas for people who can't afford it. So that's what's happening this year, all right? Okay. Let's go to the scriptures for a minute. And again, I'm not going to stay here long around giving. We'll come back to generosity and what to do with your money later on in the year. But I want to go to a passage of scripture that is popular. And the reason I want to use it is because you know it. But I want to illuminate something in it that you may have never seen. John chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world." Who is the world? That is you. And it's I, that he even gave, everybody say gave, his one and only begotten son. I want to stop there for a moment. Okay, I have one son, desperately trying to convince my wife that we might have a second child. And for a couple reasons, I love being a dad, right? But mainly because if he doesn't like me, then I'll have a second one and maybe they will. Also, this is a very warped way of thinking, but God's working out some fear in me and renewing my mind daily. But if something happens to one, at least I have another one. Isn't that a horrible way to think? I'm using everything I got to try to get my wife to have one more. But I want you to know something, and I want you to notice that God gave his one and only. Now, I love my son way more than he likes or loves me. And I look at him with such pride and joy. I mean, when you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I love him. And the idea of sowing him and giving him away for the betterment of other people who have wronged me, can you imagine? And this is exactly the gospel, what God did. That God so loved him, his son. God so loved his creation. God so loved his oneness that he gave to us because he saw us that way as well, even though we wronged him. That's sacrifice and it's giving. And giving is always connected to life change. I'll prove it to you. Here's why. Next slide. So that he gave so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior will not perish or die, but have eternal life. So it took God giving for us to experience living. Wow. It took God giving what was valuable to him because he prized us and loved us so that we might have eternal life. Something had to die so something else could live. And that's exactly the image of what giving is. Control has to die so that life change can be experienced. That's giving. Now, I want to give five brief and quick statements around generosity, around giving through your local church. Here's what we know. Number one, and I want to remind you of this, and before we read it, let me come back to say something. My dishwasher's broken. Does anyone know how to fix a dishwasher? Let me know after service. Okay, I tell you that to say this, because sometimes when stuff happens in life, we need reminders as to why we're faithful to God and what he's asked us to do. People make us crazy. I need to remind myself that I love them because God first loved me. And so when stuff's going on, like your dishwasher broken, and I'm not the handyman that I want to be, I'm not there yet, I'm on my way because I'm committed to people development, amen, even development of myself. But like I'm not wrong, so I know that that might cost me something, but I'm still committed to the local church. I'm still committed to my giving because I trust him. He's in charge. But I need to be reminded sometimes when something breaks or when somebody tries to break me, I need to be reminded why I do what I do. So here's five statements. Number one, giving of your treasure is a test of your heart, and it is separate from giving your time and talent. We're called to surrender our whole heart, and all of our heart, time, talent, and treasure, they're connected. All three are biblical and part of the Christian journey. So I want to be clear about something. Time, talent, treasure. All of these are connected. I want to parallel giving and forgiveness for a moment. Okay? All of us are called to forgive as believers. Because Christ forgave us, we forgive others. Yes? Okay. And so I think about it like this. Giving and forgiving are similar. When you forgive, you are releasing control and you're trusting that God will only do what he can do in healing your heart and that God might only do what he can do in redeeming a situation that has been hurtful. Forgiving. Giving is the same way. You're saying, okay, God, I trust you and I'm releasing control. And though maybe a church has hurt me in the past, or though may I have not been sharp or solid or able or been in debt or whatever it is, I'm releasing control and I'm trusting God that you will only do what you can do. Yeah. And I go back to this statement that giving of your treasure is a test of your heart because it's the only place in scripture you can look at it. In Malachi, it's the only place that God says, test me in this. There's no other God. There's no other religion. There's no other spirituality that says, I dare you to try me because my math and your math, they don't work together. My math won't add up. Test me, try me. And here's the deal. Every time, people who don't give can't afford to. And people who do can't afford not to. I say it every time. So that's number one. Number two, we give because giving is the natural response to love. Have you ever been in love before? You bought a few things that you didn't need to buy. Yes and amen? I mean, it's a natural response. Additionally, we give because we love someone or something. We are called to give cheerfully. We're called to give cheerfully. Well, what does that mean? Well, I mean, as you know, the natural response to love is to give. Right? It's just natural. I can't wait for Christmas this year. My kid is obsessed with Toy Story. Okay? Obsessed. Now, he also is obsessed with accessories. He loves Woody and Woody's hat. He got Jesse and Jesse's hat yesterday. I mean, it's just like a whole thing about having all the pieces to the puzzle. He loves the hat so much that we were in Florida. We lost a hat and somebody sent it in the mail because he knew he could not live without Woody's hat. Okay, so I say all that to say this, right? I can't wait for Christmas because he's older now. He's starting to get the concept of gift. Now, when I say giving cheerfully, when I'm using that language, for me, I need to prepare for Christmas. Now, it's not all about gifts, and love is not all about getting stuff. Do you understand? It's not all about that. But of course, I'm going to prepare myself, and I'm gonna sacrifice in certain areas so that I can experience the joy of cheerfully giving what I can't wait to give to my son. And giving is in a lot of ways that way. We're giving cheerfully. It means we might have to sacrifice in some areas that we don't need in our life. Might be time to cut some things. And though that could be sacrificial and challenging, what I'm able to give, I'm giving cheerfully, saying, God, this is yours in the first place. And I have great joy in seeing the life change that happens from my joyful and cheerful giving. All right, number three, we give to what we prize. God sees you as his prize. Therefore, he gave what meant the most to him, his son, Jesus. I know a lot about what some of us prize if we look at our bank account. Some of you prize vanilla iced lattes for $4, $5, $6 three times a week. That's what you prize. I prized my tummy this week. And that's why I'm wearing all black today, hoping that somehow it will slim me down because I put a high prize and priority on my tummy, right? And so, but like what we prize, we invest in. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we give to and we sow into what we prize. Do you prize life change? Do you prize transformation? Do you prize seeing the world change? Do you prize your city? Do you prize your church? What do you prize? Your money will follow what you prize. It's just the truth. I love that your location pastor or someone who was leading the offering moment talked about how we have helped start a church in Austria, the nation. And then that nation, that church started another church. And then that church is starting a movement. Like, because you prized the kingdom of God multiplied. I'm cheerful about that because somebody's going to come up to me in heaven and speak German, but because I'm going to know more in heaven, I'm going to understand them saying, thank you for giving and prioritizing the kingdom of God. That's how it works. Number four, we give to make a difference, to participate in others experiencing eternal life. In other words, giving is natural partnership with a supernatural God. It is one of the most tangible, easiest ways to experience miracles in your life. It's one of the easiest, it's one of the most natural ways for you to say, God, I'm trusting you with my natural, and I'm going to believe that you'll do the supernatural. Well, a lot of us, we practice tithing. Here's what it is. We give 10% right off the top of our income back through the local church. We trust God with it. And I've learned every time that God can do way more with my 90%. Than I can do with my 100%. Number five, we give because it's in our DNA. It's who our Father is and what He does. He gave His Son, and His Son gave His life. That's good, right? I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for a moment. I love what it says. It says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Somebody is thanking God for you because you gave. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers, right? So in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, the needs of the church will be met. The needs of the people in your city can be met. The needs of the people caring for you can be met. All right, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So let me just stop for a moment and joyfully express my gratitude and thanksgiving to those of you who invest faithfully here. Thank you. We are reaching our city because of your faithfulness. Thank you. Next, the Bible says, as a result of your ministry, talking about you, they will give glory to God. That's so good. For your generosity to them and all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. God gave, so we give. That's the good news. Keep going. And they will pray for you with deep affection of the overflowing grace God has given to you. I love that. I love that because our friends in Austria, Ray, tells us how they're praying for us. You've got people around the world and church plants that you've given to and helped start around the world praying and thanking God for you, saying, bless them and pray because they gave to us. That's good news. I feel covered today because somebody who speaks another language is praying for me. There's a woman who used to attend our church but got transferred out to another state. From her job, and she was one of my favorite people I ever met in our church. And she would always come to me and say, hey, what can I do? How can I invest in people? What need can I meet? And I'm telling you, if you come to me and ask me what need you can meet, I will tell you exactly. I have no filter. And I loved it because she was a faithful giver, but it was beyond that. She was looking for people. Where can I sow? What do you need? And she never wanted her name on things. She never wanted credit. But there were so many people. I mean, she paid people's car off. I mean, she did some crazy things because she was in love with God. And God allowed her to have the means and that gift of generosity. Now, again, start somewhere, right? You may not be able to pay somebody's student loans off today. But in your faithfulness, you might be able to pay yours off and somebody else's later. I'm believing for that kind of radical opportunity in my life. And so anyway, she said, I gave my life to Jesus in college. And when I gave my life to Jesus, everything changed. She said, I started to have a generous heart. And she said, I was poor growing up. I mean, poor throughout my professional career, poor. But I started somewhere. And she made this statement. I think it's powerful. She said this. She said, If you don't give when you have little, you won't invest when you have much. You gotta start somewhere. And we have a plethora of opportunities to do so. I'm talking about giving right now, but there's many ways that you can plug in. But just on the giving front, you can text to give. You can give through our app. You can set up reoccurring giving and make it a priority and part of your life on our website. There are many ways that you can plug in and invest in people, but that's one way you can get involved. Here's the next value. We are responsible owners. In other words, we are owners, not renters. Can we say that together? We are owners, not renters. Here's what it means. It means we love our city and church. Therefore, we accept the responsibility to serve, care for, and leave it better than we found it. You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think that there are children in our children's ministry right now who are hearing the love of Jesus, learning how to give, learning how to share. Come on, somebody. Come on, parents. Learning how to share, learning how to play, learning friendship from God's perspective. And guess what? They're hoping, and they don't know how to communicate it, but they're hoping that you leave our city and our church better than you found it. Like our kids, our students, our like our future, the generations that are coming up under us, they're praying and they don't even know they're asking for this. They're hoping, mom, dad, friend, neighbor, please leave this place better than when you found it. Like, please get us into a building. Please love my neighbor and show me how. Please eradicate the hate and racism and prejudice. Please work on our schools. Please pick up some trash. They don't even know how to say it, but they're hoping. What are we going to do about it? And the way it starts is we stop thinking like renters and start acting like owners. Now you may rent, okay? And like I'm not bashing if you rent a place, okay? That's not what I mean, okay? But there's a different mindset when you're a renter than when you're an owner. If you're a renter and something breaks, I'm calling the landlord. But you're if an owner and something breaks, you are the landlord. Right? And so you got to fix the dishwasher. Right? Or you got to get, you know, middle schoolers down there and do the dishes for you. Right? Oh, that's just me. And so what does this mean? I want to go to Genesis chapter 1 for a moment. The Bible says this. And God blessed Adam and Eve, granting them certain authority, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. I want my wife to hear that. One more kid. Be fruitful. Wait, I can tell you something. Okay, it was one of the services today, and this individual, there was like their second time, and I was meeting them. I'm like, oh, what do you do? It's like, I'm a teacher, science teacher at a local school. And I was like, thank you. Can I apologize to you to all science teachers worldwide for how I acted when I was in eighth grade? Please forgive me. He's like, cool, nice to meet you. I'm like... It just made me think of that. I don't know why. Oh, because I'm always getting in trouble. Here we go. And fill the earth and subjugate it, putting it under your power. Next slide. And rule over, which means dominate. Woo, what a word. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. Let's talk about that for a second. That seems a little bit like, that seems like a weird word to say in 2019. Right? Dominate. What does that mean? Well, if I could boil that scripture down into a few words, here's what I would see. Here's what I think it's saying. Here's what our research, here's what I believe it's telling us. It's telling us that we have responsibility to every living thing. It's telling us that we have authority over the things that come against living things. And it's telling us that we have a responsibility to be good stewards and good managers, owners of what God's given us. So we don't own people, but we do own the things that service and supply the people. So this scripture is telling us as we add and as we see living things, we need to care for it responsibly. And all the crunchy and environmentalist people said yes and amen, right? Because it's like if it breathes, we need to care for it. And like the fish and the birds and the animals, like we're not to abuse it. Sure, we eat it, but we don't abuse it. We have a responsibility not to hate and hurt and dominate in a way that is hurtful and wrong, and God will not be pleased with it. Does everybody understand that? But because of that, we have to have, when we're in our cities, when we're in our places of placement, we have responsibility to own, not rent. It's our world that God gave us. It's our community that God gave us. It's our city that God gave us. It's our church that God planted us in. So we've got to stop thinking that we're here and we'll call the landlord. No, we need to do the business and the work of the owner. And Jeremiah, the people of Israel in exile, he said this. He said, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Look at that statement. Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Got to stop right there. Can I teach you some good theology? God might send you into a place of discomfort for his glory because he trusts you. God might send you into a place that doesn't feel, why am I here? Why am I in trouble? Why am I under this imprisonment? Because God wants to do something in you and through you. He says, pray, because when you're in some exile, you got to pray. Pray the Lord for its welfare because it'll determine your welfare. So when the city gets better, you'll get better. When the church gets better, you'll get better. So for a moment, we need to say, my city, my responsibility. My city, right? I'm here. And some of you, we need to stop seeing our city as a prison and start declaring that it's a place of unlimited possibility. What if that was our mindset? I'm not going to speak death and complain about all the things wrong with the city when I see trash and it's in my ability to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to lead my son and my daughter, our students. Come on, make your school a better place. Christ is in you. He's anointed you. The same power that's conquered the grave is inside of you. Then it should shift the atmosphere of even the darkest places. Like, have children in our city. Start businesses in our city. Plant your feet long enough to see a difference. Somebody below you is counting on you. Are you going to leave it better than you found it? And it's not just our city that it is our responsibility, but it's our church. And again, I know that there are guests always in our services. Thank you for coming and thank you for bringing. That's part of ownership. And so what I'm saying is if you're going to be a part of this church, man, let's take seriously. I'm an owner here, not a renter. And the thing is this is not just my church. And for a long time, maybe the way that church was taught is it was the pastor's church or the staff's church. And like I have shares in some sort of like, you know, financial whatever. That's not how it works. This is a nonprofit, by the way. Just so you know. And so what I'm telling you is like the Bible tells me, Paul tells me that I'm meant to, as a church leader, to equip the saints. That's you. Not the New Orleans saints, but the saints in Philadelphia. I'm here to equip you for the work of the church, which means like as much as this is my church, it's your church too. And so like as much as I've got to do the work, you do too. And it's different because I'm a mouthpiece and you might be a strong muscle on the arm, but I'm part of the body. And where one part of the body's weak, it affects all of us. So not just my city, my responsibility, but my church, my responsibility. So when you see something that you can do about something, do it. I'm going to meet a need where I see it. I'm going to serve. I'm going to attend more than I miss. I'm going to be a mentor. I'm going to clean things up. I'm going to even handle things before the pastor has to handle things. Nobody wanted to say amen. I know Center City said amen. I'm going to handle things before the pastor has to because I'm a lay leader, right? I'm going to develop myself. I'm going to invite. I'm an owner, not a renter. We have done a massive egg hunt the past few years. And I remember a couple years ago, we came into this park, and you never know who's watching you, by the way. You never know who's observing your life. So when you're having a bad day, just be careful and go into the bathroom and scream in a stall. But, like, I got in an Uber the other day, and the first thing that they said to me was, oh, I know you. I was like, good morning. I have my headphones in. Like, when you have your headphones in, that's a sign that no one's supposed to talk to you, right? But my music was low enough, and she was like, good morning, I know you. I was like, okay, God bless you. It's like in the 6 o'clock hour, we don't speak till 10, amen. I mean, you just never know, right? So we do this egg hunt, most eggs, the whole city, right? And we really put a lot into it. And the first year, this individual didn't say anything, but the second year, this individual who ran the park came up to us and said, hey, I want to give you something. I want to give you a pamphlet on the history of the park, and I want to give you this gold coin, this award, so to speak. And I know it's not much, but I just want to say thank you, because you always leave this place better than when you find it. And he said this, he said a lot of people come, and he said, and you guys are over the top, outrageous. I said, we're passionate believers. And he said, and there's always a lot of people and food and chaos, but you clean it like you own it. I'm like, that's the culture I want. And he said, thank you. And this person's not a Christian necessarily, not a believer, but like everywhere we go, we carry the cross inside of us. So I'm an owner, not a renter. Because somebody could be impacted and influenced because I give and how I live. Now I want to invite somebody to join me today, Mish, as we conclude our time. And Mish, he is a great investor and a great owner, and thrilled to have him. And we're going to have a brief conversation, as we are doing every week in this series. But Mish, welcome, and can we give him a round of applause? Okay. Tell us about yourself, Mish.
Well, thanks for having me, y'all. I am the ushers and security coordinator with my wife at the Port Richmond location. We host facilitate a small group on Tuesday nights. And, you know, we're just plugged in here, enjoying it, and loving every day. So,
Mish, I remember the first time you came to the block, and you were late, by the way. And it was our 4-year anniversary. We're friends. We're allowed to joke like that. And 4-year anniversary, and you were outside, you know, I guess dealing with the valet, and your wife came in, and I didn't know the story till later, and your wife's amazing, and she was like, I was so overwhelmed, like it was just so like craziness, it was over the top, there were so many people, we were so slammed, and that was in Port Richmond, and part of why we started the Northeast, I mean, we were just so full, there was nowhere to go, and but she said, the presence of God, the Spirit of God was there, and I just could not deny that, and felt like I was home. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, up to that point, my wife and I, we had been praying for the Lord to lead us to a church we could plug into, a Spirit-filled church, a church that was sensitive to God's word, to what he was doing. And we had been relocating a couple of times, job-related stuff, and we've just been on this long journey for over a year to kind of just sit and stand it with a church and just serve together. And, you know, I found you guys through Google. I had no idea what was on the horizon. Showed up in Port Richmond, and I was like, I'm from the South. I don't do all this parallel parking. I don't understand. I did the valet. I have a straight drive that couldn't drive it, so I just had to. We just had to play it by ear, and I was late. I apologize. You know, when we walked in through the doors at Port Richmond, we knew immediately that this was family, that God was waiting for us that day. He had that date. The service, everything, all planned out. There are people that sat behind us that day. We're still friends with them. We're doing Bible study with them today. That was a year ago. And we just never could know or picture what God had in store for us.
And Mish and your family, you guys live out in West Philly. So if you're out in that direction, man, go get in their group and hang out with them. Amazing, amazing
we'll
people.
We'll feed you. I got you.
So, Mish, let's talk about just for a moment. What does it mean to be a ready investor? You're just so faithful in that area. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, there are three areas, I think, primarily, both biblical and from Pastor Joey's preaching and teaching that really speak to me. And that's giving in the areas of your time, your treasure, and your talents. And I believe it's really all three. And if you hold one back, I believe you're not experiencing what God has for you. You know, because you can go and you can hang out with your friends and serve and hold back your finances, but are you really fully surrendered if you're doing that? And you could, you know, give your finances and be like, you know what, I don't really have time to serve. I'm working, I've got circumstances. But who here knows that we serve a God who can make the sun stand still? He can carve out time. You know, I'm working close to 60 hours. My wife is doing two jobs. There is no way, there's no viable method that we could coordinate the ushers and security in Port Richmond. There's no way we could facilitate a block group, yet we're doing it. We're doing it. God carves out the time. We make time for him. He makes time for us. He multiplies it. His arithmetic never adds up.
And you do it with such excellence. And I'm just grateful for you. We were talking about earlier that, like, you know, the norm when I was growing up is like everybody was plugged in. Everybody served. Everybody was engaged. And it seems like culturally I was just at an event. And, you know, the culture, the news association was like, nobody's in church anymore. Nobody's going. Nobody's giving. Churches are closing everywhere. But I just believe the church of Jesus is alive and well. And I believe it's people like you that are pushing that forward. And so I'm grateful for that. You know, I want to talk about ownership for a moment before we close. And one, I was over at your house and we were eating dinner. You had made this, you know, it was probably your wife. Yeah, she made this fabulous dinner. And behind every good man, there's a better woman telling him what Amen. To do and doing all the right things. Okay. And so. You know, you were, when I got there, you were on the phone with a new volunteer. And I was eavesdropping, right? And I was listening to making sure things were, you know, handled the right way, you know? And so he's talking to him, and I'm listening to me, and he's going, hey, you know, I'm out of town for business this weekend. I won't be able to be there. But, man, let me tell you, I've already organized someone to be there to walk you through it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what you can expect. I mean, every detail. And then he's like, man, what can I do for you? How can I pray for you? Here's my number, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is exactly. It reminded me of an owner, not a renter. Talk to me about what that means to you.
Yeah, I've come through with my walk knowing that I'm not good at a lot of things, but the Lord continues to equip me in the gifts that he has given me. And so I know that for some reason, public speaking isn't my forte, but here I am. And, you know, as I lead, I don't lead by, you know, like command or by, you know, things like that. I really want to lead by example. I want to do something and then, you know, other people will pick up on it. You know, when I was going to visit someone at a hospital, it was not my idea actually, but it was a service lead that came to me. It was like, we got to go visit this guy. He's not doing so good. I was like, amen, we got to do it. And so we went and we did it. And, you know, and it's just really through all the different things that we kind of have come into contact with, I feel like we have a choice. And maybe we see something we don't like, and we have a choice at that moment to either complain to whomever is going to, you know, listen to us, or to actually go there and have a conversation with that person, pray with that person, pick up that piece of trash, just do what, meet a need where we see a need.
So good. You know, and you can give God a praise for that. And our culture, like when you own a house, If something breaks or you don't like it or like the way something sounds, you don't just get up and say, all right, I'm just leaving. See a house, you know, buy a house. You know, it's like, you're going to fix it. And like, I think in our culture, if we see something we don't like, I'm leaving. Well, that means you're a renter. You're not an owner. Fix the problem. Address it. Now, if the same stuff keeps happening and the leadership is not focused on equipping you properly to overcome, well, then maybe that's a different conversation. But we're owners. We stay long enough. We plant our feet long enough to see the effects and the benefits of making a house a home. You know, thank you, Mish. I'm grateful for you. I praise God for you and for your wife and people like you. I'm grateful. I love you. Can we give Mish a hand one more time?
Thank you all.
As we close today, your location pastor or someone will come up and close the service, but I want to give you a couple real easy steps to be an investor and an owner. Okay, obviously I talked about giving. If you don't already, or it's been a long time, jump back in. Online, reoccurring, app, text to give, all those areas, many ways. But there's also ways to plug in and serve, and you can do that and go to Growth Block or ask a leader how you can volunteer or check that out online, or there's many ways, serve Saturday. There are a million ways, a block group to go, to connect, to get involved, to grow, to plant your feet and invest in others, invest in yourself, and be an owner, not a renter. Don't stand still. We are going to develop and be all God's called us and asked us to be. You believe that? If you do, can you give God a praise? Let's stand to our feet, every location, every person.
Thank you so much for tuning in on the Block Church Podcast. We'd love for you to join us on our mission to see our city revived one block at a time. You can go to theblockchurch.org to see our locations, service times, and ways to give so that we together can see our city revived.